Amen. 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 Good morning to everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning to everybody online, on Facebook, on YouTube. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Our pastor is Jonathan Ford, and this is a Bible-based Christian church. Amen. Amen. Sermons, teaching, everything comes out of what? The Word of God, the Bible. Amen. Amen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the order just a little bit because I'm going to start us with scripture and then we're going to have prayer. Amen. Amen. So if we can all stand, I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 6 to 11. And you're going to hear a word that is repeated often as I read this. And what I want you to do, remember back, I taught this in Bible study a long time ago. I said, what is wisdom? Wisdom is God's truth applied to life's issues. So you keep that in mind as we get ready to read through in Proverbs. God's truth. Amen? Amen. So the word of God reads, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Amen. That's wisdom. God's wisdom is reserved for what? His people. And what does it say? If you walk uprightly, it says what he'll do. He'll preserve. Hallelujah. When the scripture says what? He'll order our steps. Amen. Amen. That comes from his wisdom. His truth applied to our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Because when we became separated from you by sin, you still said your wisdom is available. Salvation is available. Thank you, Lord. Your preached word is available. Your love is constant and available. Thank you, O Lord, for when we were wandering around and did not know you, you said, I am available to you if I call you and you come. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that despite all that was weighing us down, all the family issues and conflicts and financial issues and pain and cancer and shootings and all the stuff that goes on, you cut through all of that with your light and said, I am available. My love is available. And I'm here to set you at liberty if you would trust in me. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for making your word available every day, every hour, every minute, in publication and electronically. Thank you for making your word available by anointing pastors and ministers and deacons and teachers and bishops and priests and the congregation, that we can encourage one another in your word, that as you give us your wisdom, we can give your word to one of us who is in need. And better yet, to those who are out there that don't even know they're in need, but that we have a ready word for them. We thank you, O Lord. Thank you for this day. Anoint the pastor this morning to deliver your word, that he would move out of the way, and that you would deliver your message through him for your glory. That, Lord, as we know, we're in Philadelphia, so there's a lot of anticipation today. But that we would always have constant anticipation and joy and longing to get in your presence. Thank you, Lord. You have more than two or three gathered in your name. So as we sit in these pews, Lord, come sit next to us. Let us feel the warmth of your presence. Talk to us. Make our hearts available to hear and receive your word. That all of this would be for your glory, for your kingdom. Not ours, but your kingdom, O Lord. So come sit with us this morning, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've heard the word, we've had prayer, and now we get to what? Rejoice through song. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to have our sister Leah come up. Amen. As we prepare the atmosphere, right, for the word that is to come. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. To rejoice in song, to be encouraged in the word, to prepare our hearts and our minds, to be able to draw closer to him, to hear what the Lord desires to speak to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. In you, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, for he won't give up on you. He's able. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's able. Oh, to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, don't give up on God, for he won't. He's able. Yes, yes, our God is. Oh, God is able. Thank you, Lord, to do just what he said he would do. He's going to fulfill every promise, every single word. Oh, don't give up on God. For he won't. He's able. Yeah. Oh, he's able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being able. One more time. God is able to do just what he said. He's going to fulfill. His word does not return unto him void, but it goes out and accomplishes. Don't give up, for he won't. He's able. Thank you, Lord. Oh, oh, he's able. Yes, he is. We serve a God that is able. He's able. Oh, we honor our King. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's able. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are able. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh. He's able. 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 He is 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 able. Our God is able. He is able. He is. Don't give up on God, for he won't give up on you. Oh, don't give up on God. For he won't give up on you. Oh, don't give up on God. For he won't give up on you. He is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's able. Has he done it for you? Has he brought you through? He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He'll bring you through.
Good morning, and God bless you. You may be seated. Before we get into the Word of God, I just wanted to first say thank you to our Deacon Davis and any and everyone else who helped with the shoveling of the snow. What a great joy to come down to the church. Robert, was it Rob? Rob, all right. Rob, all right. So you owe him then. All right, the pass is really for you. Thank God for Robert. What a joy to be able to come down to the church and have the snow shoveled, not just for our entry into the sanctuary, but so many of the parents and young people that walk these streets on their way to the various schools in our neighborhood. Thank you for doing that. What a blessing it is to our neighborhood. Also, just want to say, as I said on last Sunday, thank God for all of our men who cooked for us a few Sundays ago. See you out in the audience, James and others. Like I said, it was absolutely delicious. And as such, I indicated on last Sunday, the men have voted and agreed, primarily me and Joshua. have voted and agreed that we're going to ask the men to cook once a quarter as we have our fellowship dinner. So thank you in advance for your support of the ministry. Amen. Thank God. And again, it's all in an attempt this year for us as men. We're focusing on our health. Right? Our spiritual health, our physical health, our mental health, and our financial health. Amen? And so we thank God for you. Also, I wanted to announce this morning a new pastor's challenge for this year, 2025. I shared with our Young Life Ministry on this morning that I was going to have the announcement and I would be sharing it during the service. I'm going to ask Gabe, if you will. It's just a few handouts because it's going to be in our electronic newsletter. But the challenge this year that I'm putting forth is biblical memorization. Okay? We've picked out 10 Bible verses that every Christian should know by heart. Okay? So you gotta memorize it the old fashioned way. And the way we're going to do this, every month, on the fourth Sunday, which is typically the last Sunday of the month, but some months have five Sundays, but we're going to stick with on every month, on the fourth Sunday, we are going to close out our worship service, watch this, with one of you coming up here and reciting that verse by heart for the month, okay? And it's going to alternate between the adult church and our Young Life Experience ministry. Okay? So one month it'll be an adult. The next month it'll be someone from our Young Life Experience ministry. And from our youth ministry, I'm asking that during the course of the year, that it be someone from every category. primary, juniors, and teens. Okay? So you guys can work that out. All right? So there it is. So, like I said, it's going to be in the electronic newsletter, right? That goes out every week after the service. But if you want a hard copy, or if you're just nosy and can't wait for the newsletter, Gabe has a few. So if you want, if you raise your hand, Gabe will bring you a copy. So there's some folks out there say, hey, I just want to get a hard copy so I can put it in my Bible and all that. And so starting next month, we're going to start next month, and it's going to be someone from our youth ministry. Okay? That'll be the fourth Sunday next month. We'll start with verse one, and someone from our youth ministry will be reciting that. And we're starting out with a classic, John 3:16. Okay? Many of you have already committed that to memory. But that's where we're going. You have the list. Just some basic Bible verses. Simple stuff. But these are verses we should know by heart. Right? By heart. We have, boom. Somebody, yep, we got, we know that. We got it. Okay? Are you with me on that? Right? Are you with, that sounded weak. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Gabe, there's one more hand in the back. Oh, a question. Okay. Okay. I'm going to let Wiley handle Wiley. What I'm going to encourage both sides of the house to do is volunteer. Okay? I'm asking, so that's five on the adult from our adults, five from the youth ministry. Volunteer. We're going to say, oh yeah, I'll volunteer that month. I'll memorize that verse. It helps if you already have it memorized. but yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So Wiley, you guys handle it however you want to handle it. Volunteers, or you can pick someone. Same thing from our adult church. And I'm going to ask Sister Keisha to handle the adult church. So if you want to volunteer and say, yeah, Pastor, I want to do that. I want to challenge. Just let Sister Keisha know. And that way they can coordinate it, get it on the program, and everybody be lined up. Okay? Everybody in good shape? Everybody say, thank you, Pastor. All right? So look, thank you. I needed something to do this month. Right now, I got to memorize these verses. So there you go. Okay? Now, before we turn our attention to the Word of God, just to share with you broadly, if you didn't already know, during this past week, actually last week, the nephew of our sister Margaret was murdered in Brooklyn, New York, right? In a drive-by shooting. So I want you to pray for her. I want you to pray for her family. The funeral is actually today. Okay? So I want you to pray for her. I want you to pray for her family, right? Death is never pleasant for on this side of the cross, but it can be even more alarming and unsettling when it is an unexpected death. And anytime a young person dies, it is never a good thing, okay? So she needs her church family. She needs our support. She needs our care and concerns. So I wanted to share that with you. Also wanted to share with you that Sister Anita's mother has suffered a stroke again. Okay? And so we want to pray for her and pray for Sister Anita, right? We all at some point we'll engage in caring for our parents. And that is always a difficult assignment. It's a difficult assignment when they're healthy. and well and able to go and do. But how much more as they begin to age and need more and more of our help as children. So I want to ask you to pray for her and her mother. Pray for her and her sisters. Keep them in prayer. And then lastly, I'm going to ask that you keep Jennifer Beckett in prayer. I was notified this week that her father, who many of you may well remember, is not doing well and has been placed on hospice care. And so, again, just asking you as a church family to keep her in prayer, her mother, her sister, their entire family, as they care for their dad in the waning days. Amen. So again, I just wanted to share that broadly with you in case you did not know, for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of support, encouragement. You know, many of you know these people, and some of you may not, but have been connected with our church family. Amen? Okay, good. I want to thank God. My father-in-law is here today. Come on, let's thank God for Mr. Samuels. Thank God, his companions here. Thank God for them. Always glad to see my father-in-law in the church. What a blessing. Unfortunately, his daughter and grandson are not here. They're actually away at University of Wisconsin, out there on a football recruiting trip. But we pray that God would bring them home safely. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn our attention to the book of Micah, the Old Testament. There is a prize for whoever finds it first. The sixth chapter, we're going to look after the first eight verses. Okay? Again, the book of Micah in the Old Testament. You got it? And I'll, oh no, it don't count. None of that electronic. No, that don't count. No. That's right. I'm old fashioned. Yep, Zephaniah, that's what I want. Not, no, I just Googled it. No, that don't count. I already owe you a Chick-fil-A meal anyway, so you can't double up. But there you have it in the book of Micah. And if you haven't, I am going to invite you to stand with me as we read from this Old Testament minor prophet. And if you have it, you'll see these words. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I set before you Moses, Aaron, Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from the Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, what God requires. What God requires. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. Lord, we thank you for this, another Lord's Sunday morning. Thank you that you have given us and purpose in our hearts to come and gather here in the house of the Lord. We come for no other purpose but to hear and receive a word from the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you that you give us ears to hear. Give us eyes that we might see. And give us a heart above all that might obey. Cause the word of your, the seed of your word to find good ground in our heart and fruit in our life. That over the course of time, we might all be transformed from our old self and into the likeness and nature of Jesus Christ himself. And Lord, this morning we lift up those that we have mentioned. Remember the Timothy family. Remember the Butler family. Remember the Beckett family. We lift them up into your presence. And we ask that you would comfort and care for them like only God can. Strengthen and encourage them. Lighten the load that they must carry and bear. Cause their families to sense and know the presence of God even now. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. Alexander Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Gloria Allred, Thurgood Marshall, Barack Obama, Alan Dershowitz, Johnny Cochran. And if we could add to the witness, we could add names like J.B. Todd McCoy, Jemai Samuels Ford, Marcy Abrams could be added to the list. What do all these people have in common? They are all famous American attorneys. Not so sure about the last three, but we put them on the list. Y'all might recognize their names. They are all famous American attorneys. It is often said, if you ever get in trouble, get yourself a good attorney, right? Someone who can represent you in a court of law. It's hard to imagine God ever needing an attorney. It's hard to imagine. But as we look into the book of Micah, and specifically this sixth chapter, we find the God of Israel involved in a court case. This is in your Bible. You just read it. I'm not making this stuff up. You find the God of Israel involved in a court case, right? And it's in your Bible. And if God gets involved in a court case, who would represent him? Who would plead his case, right? Micah 1:1 tells us that God hired a prophet. Micah 1:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And he prophesied what he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Picture that, God in a court case. So here it is. Let's get to it. God says in verse 1, he says, hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, listen, the Lord's complaint. Got a court case going on here. And you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against his people. Are you with me? Watch this. And he will contend with Israel. Now, depending on what translation you have, that last sentence, and he will contend with Israel, I think in the NIV it reads, and he will bring a case against Israel. Are you with me? God brings a case or a charge against his people in the courtroom of all creation. This case was too large to put it in the hands of the Southern District of New York. This case had too many ramifications to be limited to the Supreme Court. When God has a court case, the witnesses and the jurors are all creation. That's what he said. He called the mountains. He summons them to court. The hills of Samaria, the mountain ranges of Jerusalem were summoned to the courtroom of God. Why? Because he had a complaint. I got an issue, and I'm lodging a formal complaint. He said, oh, my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? He says, testify against. God says, bring your witnesses. Here's the charge. Here's the case I have against. He said, I'm going to allow you to. You hire your representatives. Hire someone to speak and represent you in front of all creation. Right?
He says now in his opening statement, Micah representing the God of Israel, he says on God's behalf, what have I done to you? How have I wearied or troubled or harmed you? He says now, testify against me. If necessary, call me to the witness stand. Right? Why? Because God's got a case. Look at somebody, tell them God's got a case. Verse 4, he says, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you the likes of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And he says, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from the Acacia Grove to Gilgal. He said, do this that you might know the righteousness of God. The Lord's multi-point argument goes to the core of his relationship with Israel. First, he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from that place of slavery. The Exodus was the most significant historical event in the history and life of all Israel. They remember it every year at Passover. The most significant event in their entire history. Commemorated annually, right? With the Feast of Passover. Second, God gave Israel great leaders. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. All of them hold a place of prominence in Israel's history. Third, God provided protection in their journey to the promised land when he intervened in the matter of King Balak of Moab and Balaam, the son of Beor. Balak, this is Numbers 20 through 22, if you want the reference, Balak wanted Balaam to pronounce a curse on Israel. But instead, God intervened and God commanded Balaam to pronounce a blessing instead. And Balaam said what? What did he famously say? He said, I cannot curse what God has blessed. This is what God did for Israel. Brought them up out of Egypt. 400 years of slavery. I told you the other Sunday when they left with their young men's with their backs bowled over. It wasn't just that he brought them out of slavery. He paid them back for all 400 years. They left with the wealth of Egypt on their backs. He gave them great leadership. Moses, Aaron, Miriam. To lead them and guide them in the formation of a new nation. And God intervened on their behalf. And God's saying, this is what I have done, right? This is what I have done. Then now, and then he goes on and he says there, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Saying, what offerings shall I offer? God, this is the record of what you have done. But when we look at the record of what we have done, right? We've disobeyed you, right? We complained the whole way here, right? We have disdained your laws and ordinances. In spite of your blessing, in spite of what you've done for us, in spite of how you intervened on our behalf, we have repaid you with less than what you gave us. God finally said, I had enough. He said, I got a case with you because this relationship is unfair. right? Let me see if I can get a witness. Raise your hand if you've ever been in an unfair relationship. Some of you should have both hands up. Your foot should be on the chair. Because you know what it's like to be in an unfair relationship. Some of you know what it's like to be in a relationship where you give more than what you receive. Let the church say. Look at somebody and tell them God's got a case. What can I offer on our behalf? Now that you've laid your case out so eloquently against me, most legal proceedings in our courtrooms, whether you know this or not, the majority of them are pleaded out. Anybody knows what that means? That means they come to a settlement. They never allow the judge or the jury to weigh in. Once one side sees that, oh, he got too much evidence. They got too many witnesses against me. The damage is there. The fault is there. What do you need? You need a motive and opportunity. All is stacked up against me. And now they what? Now they want to talk. Right? If I let this thing go the full length and let the judge or the jury weigh in, it's obvious I'll be found guilty. So now Israel wants to talk. Now they've been under God's care all the time, but now they want to talk, right? Now they say, look, what could we offer as a settlement? Could we offer burnt offerings, right? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? They say, well, why don't we wait till the next feast and offer 1,000 rams as sacrifice? They say, wait, and if that's not enough, could we add 10,000 rivers of sweet oil? The oil that what? That goes in the lamps. That causes the sweet aroma in the sanctuary, in the holy place. What if we gave God 10,000 rivers of sweet oil? Would that appease his anger? In every case, God acted faithfully towards his people. They, on the other hand, could not say the same. So the question then becomes, how could Israel then please the Lord? And what would the Lord require of them? If the sacrifice won't do it, if the burnt offering is insufficient, If the offering of oil is not enough, then what would the Lord, they said, Lord, what would it take? What would it take for us to get out of the doghouse and get back on you? What would it take to restore our relationship? God, we need to plead this case out. You got way too much evidence against. And as we look at this court case against Israel, what I'm hoping you will do is look at it and see not Israel, but yourself. Right? 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 What is the record on your relationship with God? How many times has God blessed you? How many times has God brought you out? How many times, Sister Rochelle was here, she would help me say it. How many times has God made a way out of no way on your behalf? Right? What's the record of God's dealing in your life? And all that God has done stacks up high. But then when we look on the other side of the balance sheet, and say, okay, what have I offered unto God? What the psalmist says, what shall I render unto for all of his benefit? What can I offer? Where is your level of faithfulness? Right? I'm sometimey at best. Where is your level of devotion to him? Right? It's occasional. Right? Right. Where is our obedience to his word? Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. Right? Right. Sometimes I do what the word says. Sometimes I don't. Right? And God has grown weary of your relationship with him. And just as he brings Israel to court, so God brings each and every one of us to court. Why? Because the relationship is unfair. He's giving more than what he's getting in return. So not Israel alone, but all of us, what need to what? We got to plead this thing out. There's no way I can make up the difference between what God has done and what I have not done. So Israel and all of us says this to God's attorney. What does the Lord? What do I have to do to get this case to go away? Right, right. Because if I let it go before the great and high judge, I already know how it's going to end. The evidence is too compelling against me. And so they ask, what does the Lord require? Right? God has no interest in mere religious rituals. Are you with me? Now, even though they were in violation of the relationship, they were still what? Celebrating the Feast of Passover. They were still celebrating the Feast of Weeks, right? They still were going up to Jerusalem. They still were going through the process, right? They were still going through the rituals, right? But yet their heart was far from God. Let me see if this goes over in the church. How many of you have ever been in a relationship where your partner is just going through the motions? I wish I had a real church. Come on, where the feet at? Some of y'all should just stand up. Here I am, Pastor. In a relationship where your partner is simply going through the motion, but there's no real love, no real connection. And if you know what I'm talking about, now you know why God brought a case. Because many of you who have been in similar situation, you have considered, and some of you have gone before a list of what? Bringing a case against your partner. Called divorce. Why? It's not working. This isn't working. Right? Are you with me on this? Here it is. Let me wrap it up. Right? How many of you got your roast pork in the oven? Sweet peppers, hot peppers. Yeah, I know. Yeah, all right. If you don't have it, you're going somewhere where they do have it. Here it is. So let me get out of it. Here it is. Verse 8. We finished. Here it is. So this is what God requires. If you want to make a deal with God, this is what it requires. Verse 8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? Here it is. To do justly. That's what he requires. To love mercy. That's what God requires. And to walk humbly with your God. That is what God requires. In order for this case to get settled out of court. Are you with me this Sunday? God requires of us to act justly. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable than to the Lord than sacrifice. God said, away with your rams, away with your bullocks, away with your goat offerings. God said, I just gave you that to point you in what I really require is justice. I want you to deal justly with me, even as I have dealt justly with you. And how many know God has done more for us than we've ever done for him? Because if the gavel of the judge were to come down, we would be found guilty, not just in violation of our relationship, but we would be found guilty of sin. We would be found guilty of living outside of the righteous relationship required with our God, right? Right? Why? Because sin would separate us. But God, loving justice, said, I got to find a way, because they can't pay me back what they really are. And no, that's why he says in the next one, to love mercy. Right? I got his name on the tip of my tongue. Who sang Mercy, Mercy Me? Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye. Now, y'all know y'all should bow y'all head to that. Don't none of y'all know the 10 verses, but y'all know Marvin Gaye. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. Right? Right? He realized he needed mercy. Now, just like Marvin realized, so should we also realize we need the mercy of God. Why? Because we have no evidence to offer on our behalf. Matthew 5:7 says this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Right? God wants us to, as we receive mercy from him, to then extend that same mercy to those with whom we have to do. Look at somebody and say, stop being so hard. Stop being so unforgiving. Stop being so cold. God requires you to extend mercy because God has extended mercy unto you. For his mercy endureth to all generations. Raise your hand if you are a recipient of the mercies of God. And if you are, how can you be so unmerciful? If you are, how can you be so unkind? If you are, how can you be so unforgiving? You know what I found out about mercy? We love it when it's for us. If we receive mercy, we shout all over the church. But when the gavel falls to us to offer mercy, the Bible tells the story of the ruler drug before his king and lord to pay a debt he simply could not repay. He worked the rest of his life. He couldn't repay what he owed his master. But his master mercifully forgave him. Right? And then the crime of the story is what? He went out having received mercy. Went out and found someone who owed him and threw him and his family in prison till they could repay. Is that your story? Are you a recipient of God's mercy? And then repay him by refusing mercy to someone else. Are you with me? And I'm glad I got the reaction I got. Because if we examine it closely, many of us, if not all of us, would be found guilty. Now that we have the upper hand. But if you're going to settle this thing with God, you have to love mercy, meaning you have to love to give mercy. Right? Forgive those that have trespassed against you. What's the famous clause? Even as. Isn't that the clause? That's the clause that messed all of us up, even as. What? God has forgiven what? Your trespasses. That's why he told Peter, you got to forgive 7 times 70. Are you with me? God requires you to act justly. God requires you to love mercy. And here it is, we close out on this. God requires you to walk humbly with him. Luke 14:11 says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. That word abased means brought down. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Are you with me? Look at somebody next to you and tell them, humble yourself. Tell them you're getting too big for your britches. Israel got too big for her britches because God had blessed them so much, they became God's God. Right? But he tells us what? Humble yourselves. Right? Under what? The mighty hand of God. And what? And in due season, right, God would exalt you. Look at somebody and tell them, humble yourself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Humble yourself means you got to take a back seat. Humble yourselves means you got to take the low road sometimes. Humble yourselves means you got to see others get ahead while you lagger behind, right? But it's all right, because if I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, under the tutelage of God. Oh, I thank you, Holy Ghost. Humble yourself under the hand of God. Look at somebody, tell them God's got his hand on him. And sometimes God will hold you back. Why? Because it's not your time yet. Sometimes God will pull his hand on you, not to bless you, not to cause you to go up, but to keep you humble. Now, why is not your time yet? Now, but when in the fullness of time, when it's time for your blessing, time for you to go up, the same hand of God that held you back will be the same hand that'll lift you up, turn you around, set your feet on. Look at somebody and tell them, let God exalt you. Let God pick you up. Let God turn it around. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. He will. He will lift you up in due season. He will bless you in this life and the life to come. Somebody shout yes. Yes. Yes.
Look at somebody, tell them, wait for it. Yes. I'm in a bad relationship. Wait for it. I'm in a bad situation. Wait for it. God will bring you out. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Give him a praise. A praise. Give the Lord a praise right now. Yes. It's not what I want. I'm not where I want it. But I promised God I would wait patiently on the... Woo! Woo! Do what's right. Love mercy. And humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, God will exalt you, raise you up, pick you up, bless you like you've never been. Woo! I'm glad the Lord had mercy on my soul. I'm glad God had mercy on me. Woo! I almost died in my sins, but the Lord had I almost went bankrupt, but the Lord had, I almost lost my marriage, but the Lord had, that's why I praise him, that's why I give him the glory, because if it had not been for the Lord, that was woo! Lord, what do I owe? Lord, what do I have to pay? What shall I render for all of your benefits? The righteous judge, he has a case against you, against me. What does he require? What can I give? Woo! Help me, Jesus. I owe him. I owe him. I owe him. You may not know what I've done, but God knows everything. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth. I shall come forth as pure gold out of the refinement. Woo! Good God, help me. He paid it all on Calvary's cross. Jesus, he paid it all on Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide to see how free
my Lord could. On Calvary. Yes. Jesus paid the debt. Jesus paid what God required. He paid. He paid. He paid. He paid it all for me. Give the Lord a praise. Woo! Lord, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Woo! On the count of three, I want everybody to stand up and give the Lord some kind of praise. One, for justice. Two, for mercy. Three, for humility. Give him a praise right now. He paid it all. Hell is not my home. He paid. He paid. He paid the price. I dare you to praise. I dare you to bless his name. I dare you to give God the glory. Woo! He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Woo! He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. And he gave me a robe dressed in white. And he covered all of my iniquity. He paid. He paid. He paid it all. I dare you to pray to me. I'm with you, Brother Joe. I'm going to shout the good God, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all my soul, I don't know about your soul, but my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I'll pay whatever you require. Lord, I'll pay. Woo! He's done so much. He's done so much. Give him a praise. He has done so much for me. I cannot tell it all.
If you only knew what God has done in my life, Lord, just tell me what you require. The evidence against me is overwhelming. And if God, the righteous judge, were to issue a verdict, I wouldn't survive. I wouldn't make it. But the witness tells us what? Thanks be unto God, who have given us the victory by Christ Jesus. I would have lost the case. I would have found my soul in Sheol, the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But thanks be unto God. But Jesus dealt mercifully with me. He walked humbly with me. Even when I refused to walk with him, he never left my side. And when justice came knocking, you already know, I would have been found guilty. But Jesus paid the price. And now I'm free. Not free to do what I want. Not free to go where I please. But now I'm free to do what he requires of me. That's why he died. That's why he gave his life. So that he could redeem your life. But now we owe him. This is what God requires. Every eye closed, every head bowed. God, I thank you for not issuing judgment in my case. Lord Jesus, I thank you for being my high priest, my advocate, my representation in heaven before the Father and his holy angels. Thank you for taking my case. Even though I couldn't pay. Thank you for taking my case. Even though you saw the evidence stacked against me, you still took my case. This Sunday, Lord, I thank you for being my representation up in heaven. Lord, above all, I thank you for paying the price for my salvation. Yes, Lord, I do. I thank you for that. I couldn't have paid it. I couldn't have covered that. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, eternal life, to all those that believe. So Lord, this Sunday morning we thank you for not only being our high priest, for not only being our attorney, but thank you for being our bondsman, paying the price for me. Woo! My soul love you. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Lord, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You're here this Sunday morning, and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Hopefully, by the witness of the word, you now realize what a debt you owe to God. Today, right here, right now, Jesus is willing to settle your case. He'll take you on as a client and represent you in heaven. All you have to do is say, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I. I need you. You know my case. You know what I've done, and you know what I have not done. But I need an attorney. I need somebody to speak for me. And not only that, I need somebody to get me out of the mess I'm in. My life is a mess. My soul is in turmoil. And what I need is a Savior." You're here this Sunday. The altar of the Lord is open. Come and get from God exactly what you need. Spirit of the living God. Yes. It's me, Lord. It's not my mother. It's not my father. Brother, it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. Here I come, Lord. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of putting it off. I'm tired of trying to distract myself of the real problems. Here am I, Lord. Won't you come? The altar of the Lord is open for you. Here am I, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. I give my life, Lord, to thee. The evidence is too great against me. I'll never get out free. But I'm so glad that you're a God that loves mercy. Woo! I'm so glad that you're a God of justice, even when I'm required to pay. My bondsman stepped in, said, "God, I'll pay the price." And he stretched himself. Why? He stretched himself high on Calvary's hill. Said, "I'll pay. I'll pay the price for whatever others do. I'll take the road that the Lord requires of you." Why don't you come give your life to Jesus today? Today, today, today can be your Super Bowl. Today can be your championship. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Lord, here am I, Lord. Today with Jesus, I win. Today with God's help, I win. I win. I win. Today we have the victory. Yes. The devil is defeated. God is exalted. And today we win. The case against you has been settled. Your attorney paid it all. Case closed. Case dismissed. Yes. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Woo! I gotta get out of this. I gotta get out of this. I'm free. I'm free. Finally set free. Finally free to love Him. Even as He has loved me. So Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. For taking our case in the courtroom of all creation and in the courtroom of heaven. I got an attorney. I got an attorney. And today, I am free. I could keep going, but I know you got a ham in the oven. I know you put the greens on low. I know you got a 12:15 pickup at the local catering store. But I tell you what, I'm so glad you came to church this Sunday. I don't know what to do. If I was home watching this online, I would be like Saquon Barkley when he ran that touchdown. And on the way down, he kept smacking himself in the head. If I missed the level of anointing that was in this place, I'd be at home smacking myself in the head when I could have been there. When the waters of Jordan were troubled, I could have been the one that stepped in and received what my soul does need. Woo! Come on, use your good preaching voice. You ready? Woo! Come on, use your good preaching voice. Woo! There you go. There you go. That's how you tell the devil you're defeated. Mm-mm, devil. Not anymore. Woo! I got the victory. I got the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Jesus settled my case. He paid the price for me. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. 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 We're going to move to the next part of the service, and I got to catch Brother Joshua before he leaves. Brother Joshua, can I get a drum roll, please? What time is it? Offering time! Amen. 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 So with that, we're going to bring up Sister Kennedy, and she's going to take us through the information for our offering. Amen. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139, Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithe/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at jonathan-ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Good morning, church. And now for our announcements. Please bear with me as I do not have my glasses. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us and worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page. Follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. February 2nd is Holy Communion. Please dress accordingly. February 16th, Black in Philadelphia History presentation by Dr. Amy Cohen, and members of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity will be joining us as special guests of the pastors. February 19th, our Wednesday night Bible study, we will receive an update on Israel from Rabbi David Strauss. Pastor is asking all members to be online at 7 p.m. sharp. Bible Memorization Sunday, I believe the pastor has spoke about that already, so I don't need to repeat that one. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by our morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday night's prayer and Bible studies at 7 p.m. via Google Meets. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets. And we look forward to seeing your children second through fifth Sundays. And also, Wiley, don't forget the pastor's challenge. So we do have a special announcement for our Girl Scouts. It is Girl Scout cookie season. And we have three Girl Scouts, Kennedy and Zoe actually are cadets now. Those are our middle schoolers. And Zaya, I believe, is still a brownie. And Zaya is a brownie. As you can see, if you can see on the screen, I don't have it in front of me. Jersey cookies are $6. You know Jersey is high.
PA's cookies are $5. So, what we normally do, if you want to purchase from either of the girls, we appreciate all your donations, and we thank everyone who support them, especially the church, because you guys do support our girls. And our we give a special thanks to our pastor and our first lady, as they are always supporting them in everything that they do. So Zaki and I just ask, just see us however you want to do it. We do, if you want something right now, Kennedy does have cookies available. If not, you could wait and order those through Zakiya. She is here, and she will bring those to you, I believe, next Sunday. Okay, so that's how we would do that. So, and with that, we are done with our announcements.
Amen. Amen. See, that's how they get you. When it costs money, like, but I got it right now. We're going to have our pastor come out, and we can all stand. He's going to give us our benediction.
In your attendance, thank you for your faithfulness and your attentiveness. I hope and pray that you've received something out of the Word of God that blesses you and encourages you, not only today, but throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. The Word of the Lord is quick and life-giving. Amen. Now unto Him that is able to keep us, who alone is able to present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and the host of holy angels. Now to Him be glory, dominion, and power in the church by Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen again. God bless you, Taylor.